broadcasting worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, live from the heart of the nation's capital. This is Morning Glory.
On Monday, August 7th, in the 18th week in Ordinary Time, we begin the day and the work week giving glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace to people of goodwill. We praise you, we bless you, we adore you, we glorify you, we give you thanks for your great glory. Lord God, Heavenly King, O God, Almighty Father, Lord Jesus Christ, only begotten Son, Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, you take away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. You take away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. You are seated at the right hand of the Father, have mercy on us. For you alone are the Holy One, you alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most High Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and the glory of God the Father.
Amen.
We are Catholic from the start, beginning each morning with the Gloria. This is Morning Gloria on EWTN Radio. I'm Brian Patrick with our Morning Gloria Purvis.
Good morning.
Lisa Murphy is our producer at Guadalupe Studios. Our godly counsel from just down the street at Holy Comforter St. Cyprian Parish, Monsignor Charles Pope. Monsignor, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Lord, you speak to us today a lot about the Eucharist and how you feed us in your readings. And so we ask, Lord, for an increasing devotion to Holy Communion and to the Eucharist, that we receive it worthily and frequently through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
And I know, Monsignor, you'll share more of those thoughts on the Eucharist and our love for it. But first, let's hear from Mother Angelica, Gloria.
I desire, Lord Spirit, to be so aware of Jesus at every moment of my life that I will act like him in every circumstance and have the self-control that is the fruit of peace and love. Let me bear this fruit in my soul that I may glorify the Father. Wow, that's
Mother's
beautiful.
Mother's great wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
In the news,
here.
At 2 minutes after the hour, North Korea vows retaliation after the U.N. Security Council votes to tighten sanctions. In Manila, U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson tells Asian leaders North Korea must stop its missile tests before negotiations can begin.
The best signal that North Korea could give us that they're prepared to talk would be to stop these missile launches.
The U.N. Security Council vote for sanctions was unanimous, supported even by China, a longtime North Korea ally. The ban on coal and other exports could cost North Korea's economy $1 billion. For the first time in 5 years, Jordan's king visits the West Bank and the Palestinian president. King Abdullah II will meet with the president of the Palestinian Authority, Mahmoud Abbas, in Ramallah to discuss Jordan's administration of a Jerusalem holy site where Israeli security measures recently fueled a violent 2-week standoff. The peace process is expected to be discussed between those two leaders. The White House issues policy guidelines for the military to phase out the previous administration's order on transgender personnel. It is called a guidance policy for open transgender service phase out. Details of the document are not yet public. Counselor to the president, Kellyanne Conway, says she can't answer whether military leaders signed off on President Trump's surprising tweet last week announcing a ban on transgender people from active duty military.
The president had consulted for quite a while with different stakeholders, including his generals. What he says in the tweet is absolutely true. He consulted with generals and others about this issue.
Archbishop Timothy Broglio for the military services released a statement saying, quote, "The president's announcement and the prevailing response fail to address the essence of the issue, the dignity of the human person," adding, "Sexual orientation and gender identity issues reflect a rapidly increasing and incorrect societal attitude," Gloria.
One of the things that I think about is when you read up on people that suffer from gender dysphoria, the very high rate of suicide. And this is even after having their quote-unquote transition surgery. So also it doesn't make sense to me to put people who already have a high tendency to suicide in extremely high-stress environments that to me would only exacerbate the suicidal tendencies and suicidal ideation. So those are some other things that I think should be considered as well in this banning of people with basically gender dysphoria from serving in the military.
All right. In other news, Attorney General Jeff Sessions says people who are leaking classified material are threatening national security and will pay the price.
Criminals who would illegally use their access to our most sensitive information to endanger our national security are, in fact, being investigated and will be prosecuted.
On Fox News Sunday, Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein says the issue is a priority for the Justice Department.
We've had a surge in referrals to the department, and we're responding appropriately. We're going to devote more resources, reevaluate our procedures, and make sure we investigate every one of those leaks in an appropriate way.
He says in the past 6 months, there have been nearly as many criminal referrals involving unauthorized disclosures of classified information as there were in the previous 3 years. A federal appeals court panel rules a pregnancy center must comply with the Obamacare mandate that forces organizations through their insurance to pay for drugs that cause abortions for their employees. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit held that pro-life organizations that are secular in nature are not entitled to the religious exemption granted by the Supreme Court to others, including Hobby Lobby and the Little Sisters of the Poor.
And this is exactly why the HHS mandate needs to be rescinded immediately. I mean, the overreach, this is ridiculous. Now they're saying if you aren't explicitly a believer, you can't have a personal conscience objection and, you know, refuse to provide these things. They need to get rid of this mandate like yesterday.
The FBI and U.S. Marshals joined police in Ohio searching for a rape suspect who escaped from a prisoner transport van. 32-year-old Brendan Powell overpowered a Paulding County Sheriff's deputy while being taken from a psychiatric hospital to the county jail. Paulding County Sheriff Jason Lander says Powell caused the deputy to crash the van, grab the deputy's gun, forcing him at gunpoint to remove his shackles.
He had a plan to be able to lunge to the driver's seat with shackles and with his restraint system around his waist and handcuffed to be able to get my deputy's head in between his arm to put him into a chokehold.
Police say there's been no sign of Powell since his escape on Friday. Tulsa, Oklahoma, cleaning up this morning after a tornado damaged parts of town. Officer Demita Kennard says police responded to reports from restaurants where people were trapped inside.
There were patrons in three restaurants, and they were eating when the storm came through, and dispatch started getting calls of people who were trapped in the restaurants because the roofs had started collapsing in on them.
The storm took down power lines and trees. At least three businesses were damaged. There are no reports of deaths or serious injuries as a result of the tornado. After signing a bill imposing tough sanctions on Russia, President Trump blames Congress for our strained relationship with that country. South Carolina Republican Senator Tom Tillis disagrees, saying relations with Russia are strained because Russia is doing bad things.
We are here because of their actions in Crimea. We're here because of their meddling in elections, because they're not necessarily being helpful in Syria. Our relationship with Russia is on Russia.
And Pope Francis focuses his Angelus address on Sunday's Feast of the Transfiguration. He says the event of the Transfiguration of the Lord offers us a message of hope. It invites us to encounter Jesus, to be at the service of our brothers. He says we too can come down from the mountain, recharged by the power of the divine spirit, to decide on new steps of authentic conversion and to constantly bear witness to charity as the law of daily life. Monsignor, we had a visiting priest on Sunday, and he focused on the words of the Father. And after the Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," in this quote that we hear from God the Father, he says, "Listen to him."
Mm-hmm.
And he focused on that, and it was really a powerful homily.
Yeah, and I would also add, you know, just it was great to have visions and stuff, but at the end of the day, obedience is better than sacrifice.
Very good. That is a good word for this Monday morning. In sports, just ahead of your Monday forecast, the Cubs needed some help from the Tampa Bay Rays to stay atop the National League Central. The Cubs still own a half-game lead over Milwaukee, despite their 9-4 loss to Washington over the weekend. The Nationals erased a 4-1 deficit, pulling ahead for the win. The Brewers remain second in the division. After Steven Souza Jr. unloaded a walk-off homer in the bottom of the ninth to lift the Rays past Milwaukee 2-1. The Rays were shut out in the first two games of the series. Boston's division lead remains three games over the Yankees after Chris Young homered twice and collected five RBIs in the Red Sox' sixth straight win, 6-3 against the White Sox. The Yanks kept pace by thumping the Indians, 8-1 in Cleveland. 9 minutes after the hour now, and here's Elisa with our Monday forecast.
Morning glory weather.
Cooler temps in the Midwest and rain in the Northeast for your Monday. Thunderstorms in Harrisburg today with temps climbing into the low 70s. For those listening on Holy Family Radio this morning, a rainy day in San Antonio nearing 99. For those tuned to the Guadalupe Radio Network and in Grafton, West Virginia, showers today reaching a high of 73 for our listeners on Light of Life Radio Ministry.
Thank you, Elisa. It's 10 after the hour on your Monday, August 7th, and I see our Gloria Purvis featured in a new video for the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops.
Yeah, you know, it was something I'd done from them a while ago, and it was interesting that they put out, basically, I'm talking about why the civil rights movement is not like, or the redefining marriage movement or marriage equality, whatever you want to call it, is not like the civil rights movement. And what I'm saying, I think, is very uncontroversial. I mean, it's just plain facts. And what I say in the video, and if you want to see it, you can go to my Twitter page, at @Gloria_Purvis, and I'll retweet it this morning. And all I've said is basically historical facts, is that the civil rights movement had a Christian ethos. The marriage redefinition movement is anti-Christian, has an anti-Christian ethos. And then I go on to quote Martin Luther King, letter from a Birmingham jail, where he quotes St. Augustine, and he explains that how can you tell whether a law is, you know, a just law? And basically he says for it to be a just law, it has to be in accord with the moral law, the divine law, the natural law. And that the civil rights movement dealt with the acceptance of the human person, whereas marriage redefinition movement, this whole marriage equality, really deals with accepting sexual activity. So the difference between being and doing. The civil rights movement dealt with persons. The sexual marriage redefinition movement deals with sexual activity, particularly homosexual activity, as accepting that. And so, some people have been not too pleased with it, as you could imagine, but I think it's pretty uncontroversial. I think you saw it, Monsignor.
Yeah.
It's
very well done. It's all of 35 seconds or
so. Yeah, real quick.
It goes quickly, but as I say, it's just beautifully done. And you also, you know, you quoted Dr. King, who, again, you say, quotes Augustine, and Augustine's quote is, and you mentioned it in the video, is an unjust law is no law at all.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's where the question is begged, namely, well, how do I know what's a just law or unjust law? And again, whether it's in accord with the moral principles of the, you know, that have been revealed to us.
Which is exactly why I say their movement is an anti-Christian mm-hmm. movement, because they firmly reject that as having any basis or anything that we should consider. And in fact, they call our type of thinking bigoted mm-hmm. Completely rewrite history to make themselves look like the civil rights movement, when if you study the civil rights movement, you're like, no, that movement had a Christian ethos. Definitely not.
And Monsignor, I know you spent part of your weekend with several hundred men from the Diocese of Harrisburg.
Yeah, we actually met at Mount St. Mary's in Emmitsburg, Maryland, right near Gettysburg. But 300 men came down to the seminary there, and we had a great weekend retreat, ended yesterday afternoon. And I just want to commend the people in Harrisburg. That's a good turnout and they've been doing that for almost 40 years now.
That's
300 men every year gather at the Mount, and they're going to be their 40th anniversary next year, and they'll be with their bishop he'll be leading the retreat. So they got a pope this year.
That's good.
Note the indefinite article.
Right. No, not the pope, but a pope.
But they'll have their bishop next year. So, but a great, great group of men, and I'm very, very happy that there's such a good turnout every year for that retreat.
And what is the, I'm sure you've probably led a retreat of women and a retreat of men. Is there any significant difference?
Yeah, for me, there's a big significant difference in that women, I think, in the retreats I've led, are more interested in talking about the relational aspects of their relation with God. Men want a plan of action. Men want something, you know, to do, how to respond. And I summon them again to remember we're at war. And, Revelation chapter 12, you know, lays out this cosmic battle. And they've got to fight for their own soul and then fight for the souls of their sons and daughters and grandsons and granddaughters and so on. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. So that's
there's plenty of action for men to take mm-hmm. if they're willing to get up off their keisters.
That's right.
Well, I just hope it also starts with some self-examination, mm-hmm. right?
Sure,
it has
yeah.
to start with some self-examination so you know that the plan of action fits that, you know, that particular soul.
Yeah, but not too much like committee action. If you think about St. Joseph, he rose immediately. Mm-hmm. And took the Holy Family to Egypt. So, you know, we don't need a committee to meet and decide what to do. There is discernment involved, though.
Yeah, that's why I said self-examination.
Right, self-examination.
Yeah, you certainly just focus on St. Joseph.
There you go. Who's next, Gloria?
Dr. James Shirley of the Charlotte Loggia Institute joins us next to talk about the dangers of human gene editing. So stay tuned to hear about that next on Morning Glory.
We appreciate you joining us on this Monday, August 7th on EWTN.
Catholic from the start, because every new morning is a gift. This is Morning Glory. EWTN is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If your cable or satellite provider doesn't carry EWTN's full programming lineup, give them a call and let them know you would like to receive EWTN 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
For more information, go to EWTN.com and click on television.
On fire for EWTN? Get Amazon Fire TV. All you need is a high-speed internet connection, a TV, and the Amazon Fire TV player. Never miss any of your favorite EWTN television or radio programs again.
This is Al Cresta, host of Cresta in the Afternoon. And Cresta in the Afternoon looks at all of life through the lens of Scripture and the teaching of the Catholic Church. Church teaching is the light by which we view the world, and so we'll explore everything, from abortion to Hollywood, and from the First Amendment to the United Nations, and everything in between. Following St. Paul, we're seeking transformation through the renewing of our minds. So that's Cresta in the Afternoon with me, Al Cresta, weekdays 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
This is Colleen Kelly Mast.
Hello, this is Archbishop Charles J. Chaput, the Archbishop of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
This is Catherine Seltner, host of EWTN Pro Life Weekly. Thanks for listening to EWTN Radio.
At Morning Glory, we never sleep. Connect with us on Facebook.
And we're back. It's 16 minutes past the hour on this Monday morning. Wake up. Let's get going. You're listening to Morning Glory on EWTN Catholic Radio. I'm Gloria Purvis. And with me in his beautiful Marion blue to match his eyes is Brian Patrick, our producer. Well, come on now. Let's go with it. It's radio. They won't know. He's like, I like my brown eyes. And we have with us Elisa Murphy, our producer, and Monsignor Charles Pope is with us as our godly counsel. On the line, we have Dr. James Shirley of the Charlotte Lozier Institute. Good morning, Dr. Shirley.
Good morning.
Now, human gene editing just happened in the U.S., and I saw a big article in the New York Times about it. For our listeners who are unfamiliar and don't have a, you know, strong scientific background like yours, simply put, what is human gene editing?
Well, it's basically a new technology. It's sometimes referred to as CRISPR-Cas9, but what it means is that scientists are now able to take any human cell and specifically alter the DNA at any site, which means you can destroy a gene or you can correct a gene.
Now, all of this is done on a human embryo that's in the lab, right?
Yeah, so this recent research that comes out of Oregon, the Oregon Health and Science University, is really what's got everybody's attention, is that this is the first time that someone has been able to efficiently make changes in the genomes of human embryos. And the reason that's important, besides the fact that it's happening in embryos, is that if you make a change in the DNA of an embryo, that DNA change will be inherited in the, if the embryo in the future grows up and has offspring, has children, that change will be inherited by those children, and it can be passed on to their children. So the real point about this that we need to pay attention to is this opportunity now for scientists to basically change the future of human evolution by changing genomes in a way that they can be inherited.
But the way we've seen this positioned in the secular media is that they're able to do something therapeutically good. In other words, they've been able to edit out a gene mutation that causes some kind of heart defect. What is the danger there? I mean, I hear what you're saying, but, you know, as they're selling it, that this has the possibility of so much good. Why should we be concerned then?
Well, unfortunately, sometimes when we let technology move forward too fast, we don't pay attention to the potential for bad that goes along with the potential for good. Now, and some of these things are not so clear until you think more about them. Whether you're trying to do a good thing for an embryo or whether you're doing something that might be more frivolous, there's concerns about doing gene enhancement, it takes place without the embryo's consent.
I get, you know,
so
that's again,
this is a real ethical issue because it's a change that's going to impact the life, the well-being, the body of the embryo, and yet we're doing it at a time when the embryo cannot consent to it. The other thing is that because there's also the opportunity not to just do corrective gene editing, but also to potentially do enhancement. So, you know, someone may down the road, some company might decide they want to make bigger, stronger human beings. Yeah. There's a potential for harm. There's a potential for abuse.
Yeah, that's what I was going to...
Another factor is the potential for us losing our respect for human dignity because we're able to make these changes. Suddenly, human beings become tinker toys. They become commodities. And so that's another potential society effect that we have to be concerned about.
One of the things that when you just mentioned that the embryo cannot consent, I think we forget when we hear this, we are talking about a human when we're talking about embryos. Yes. And that we're acting on them without regard for what they might have wanted. And I do find it troubling that you're basically letting us know we are affecting the future without really even understanding the full impact of what this editing could do. And that's scary.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Shirley, I'd also like to maybe follow up on what she just said and ask you, we know enough to be dangerous, don't we? But what would be more than the moral dangers, which you articulated very beautifully, what would also be some possible medical and physical dangers that would flow from this?
Well, there's one major one of concern because this technology, which is primarily targeted, has the potential and has been shown to often affect other sites in the DNA. And so it's possible to have detrimental effects taking place that can be unknown until they are expressed later in the developed person from an embryo. This particular report has been exciting because they did not observe very identifiable, what are called off-target mutations. But that means that they didn't observe the ones they were looking for. And so there is a potential that if you start doing this, for instance, if this becomes a very common mode of treating embryos, if you will, then there's a potential that there are going to be mutations that are there that were unintended. And that's a real problem.
So we've basically...
I'm concerned about something that's happening right now in terms of harm, because in order to do the research that was reported in that paper, at least 145 embryos were destroyed. And as our host mentioned, embryos are, although they're small and they start as a single cell, they're living human beings. So the harm that's being done presently is that the cost of this research was 145 human lives.
And I also imagine it dealt with human lives that were created outside the marital embrace. And it turns these human beings into lifelong lab experiments. Basically, once they are, you know, born, they are, in effect, just a lifelong lab experiment. Well, let's just watch and see what happens to them now that we've edited something from their bodies. It's very troubling. This is very Frankenstein-like to me.
Yeah. And if we continue on this path, that is the future we're talking about. What happens now is these embryos are destroyed. Again, so now we're basically creating laboratory human beings with the known purpose of destroying them.
Do you have any particular articles up at the Charlotte Lozier Institute that might help those who want to follow this more closely, learn more, understand it, and understand the ethical challenges with it?
You know, I'm not sure because I haven't been at the site that recently, but I suspect that it's a good place to start. And if there aren't already articles up there that would be helpful to listeners, there'll be references to other places where they might find them.
Well, Dr. James Shirley, thank you so much for calling into Morning Glory and alerting us to this very alarming development in the scientific world. We'll keep this in prayer, and we got to keep up the good fight. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to do this education. Appreciate it.
We appreciate you, too. 24 after the hour, coming up in just a little bit at the top of the hour, Holy Mass from Our Lady of the Angels Chapel in Irondale, Alabama, on most of these EWTN affiliates. We also encourage you to be generous to your local affiliate. Without them, Morning Glory could not come to you. We're going to go to Monsignor Pope to talk about love for the Eucharist in a moment. But first, we go to Elisa Murphy, our producer, who's been going through the emails and texts for Catholic Chatter.
You can find us on Twitter at EWTN. You can email the show directly, morningglory@EWTN.com. We've heard from Lori this morning, who thanks you, Gloria, for your strong words in defense of marriage. And we've also heard from Terrence, who is wondering, Monsignor, with the men's retreat you did just this past weekend in Harrisburg, are there any upcoming ones? He's actually in Florida, so are you heading down south anytime soon?
Not that I'm aware. There's one other one in the works right now that I'm not. We haven't finalized the details, but...
Okay, great. Yeah.
All right, it's 25 after, Monsignor. Walk us through this love for the Eucharist that really empowers us as Catholics.
Yeah, you know, in the first reading today at the of our Mass here in the Western Roman Rite, we have the reading from the Book of Numbers, and the people are saying, oh, we're tired of this manna. You know, it's this wretched manna. We remember the melons and the leeks and the... We remember the cucumbers and the garlic. And back in Egypt.
Good whiner.
You
know.
We remember all of that. Now, don't forget you were also slaves when you
That's
had all
right.
that. But again, God, of course, this manna was bread from heaven. And so God, in punishment, would send seraph serpents among them as if to say to them, look... Your lament of the food I give you and your rejection of it is devilish. And later on, of course, Jesus, when Judas, when he gave the teaching on the Eucharist in John 6, he asked the 12 if they would leave, and they said, no, we'll stay with you through Peter. But he said, yes, have I not chosen you 12, but is not one of you a devil who would, of course, get up at the Last Supper and betray the Lord. But I just want to say that we've got to understand that this food, which the Lord gives us, is our necessary food. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. And so we've got to stay faithful to the Eucharist, seek to receive it frequently and worthily. Now, the only other thing I would say is this modern lament about melons and cucumbers and garlics and leeks is kind of common among Catholics, too. Mass is boring. They have a nice rock band over at the megachurch. And, you know, melons and leeks, you know, as opposed to the bread from heaven, you know.
Amen.
The bread from heaven.
Preach
so
it.
The poorest sermon in the world, plus Jesus in the Eucharist, still outranks.
Amen.
Now, that's be good sermons, but, I mean, the poorest sermon in the world, plus Jesus in the Eucharist, is still a more precious gift than any entertaining sermon or musical group or any other thing. We don't go to Mass to be entertained, even first and foremost to be instructed. We go first and foremost to worship God and be fed by him. Now, priests and deacons and bishops too, work on your sermons. They should be best sermons in the block. But the point is, don't run after lesser things and avoid the greatest gift of all, the Eucharist.
Amen.
Oh, I've heard
yes,
you rock the house indeed. With your sermons, Monsignor.
He does.
We always
does.
Have Jesus in the Eucharist. Thank God for Jesus.
Amen.
All right, coming up, we have your morning news on this Monday, August 7th, in the 18th week in Ordinary Time. And from LifeSet, Brendan Kirby talking about White House leaks as Morning Glory continues on EWTN Radio.
Catholic from the start, because every new morning is a gift. Morning Glory.
Morning Glory.
CNA is the only fast, reliable, and free Catholic news source that brings blogs, stories, and opinions to your fingertips. The latest Catholic news is at CatholicNewsAgency.com, an online service from EWTN News.
Celebrating 100 years of Fatima with Monsignor Charles Pope.
On May 13th, 1917, in her first apparition to the three children, Our Lady of Fatima said, "Are you willing to offer yourselves to God and bear all the sufferings he wills to send you as an act of reparation for the conversion of sinners?" It's a powerful question. It's a question that's also being asked of us. Are we willing? Do we pray for the conversion of sinners? Are we willing to fast? Are we willing to accept sufferings that the Lord might send us so that sinners can be converted? Are we even willing to suffer ourselves for our own conversion? So often we simply want things to be well, but we don't want to be part of the solution. We ask God to fix things. But God asks us, will you join me in this great work of the conversion of sinners?
Join EWTN as we celebrate the 100th anniversary of Fatima. Visit EWTN.com/Fatima.
Be a part of Mother Angelica's mission. EWTN Radio is seeking a dynamic producer to join our growing radio team. The EWTN radio producer is responsible for managing all aspects of live and recorded programs, develops program ideas consistent with EWTN's mission, and collaborates with the leading voices in Catholic radio. For all the details about this exciting opportunity, click on employment at EWTN.com.
Hey, this is Doug Keck, EWTN President and Chief Operating Officer.
This is Anna Mitchell, host of the Sunrise Morning Show.
This is Raymond Arroyo, host of The World Over. Thanks for listening to EWTN Radio.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
On the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, live from Capitol Hill, this is Morning Glory.
It's a rainy morning in the nation's capital as Guadalupe Studio is the home of Morning Glory, looking out over the United States Capitol building on Capitol Hill in Washington. I'm Brian Patrick along with Gloria Purvis.
Good morning.
Our producer at Guadalupe Studios, Elisa Murphy, and our godly counsel is the pastor of Holy Comforter St. Cyprian Parish here in the Archdiocese of Washington. Monsignor Charles Pope will lead us in prayer to begin the half hour.
Lord, as we were just reflecting, please, Lord, keep us desirous of the Eucharist. And at times you come to us so humbly, but help us not then to mistake your humility for something which we would start to consider uninteresting or boring. Help us to know how much we need you in the Eucharist, so beautifully, humbly given to us Sunday after Sunday through Christ our Lord. Amen.
And daily, if we can so choose. All right, Gloria's got a Monday musing coming up.
Yeah, you know, as you could imagine, I've gotten some negative responses to the video that I did to the USCCB. And I'd like to talk about some of the common slurs that are thrown at us who understand male-female marriage. And so I'll talk about that a little more.
That's just a few minutes away now. At 31 after the hour in the news, a federal appeals court panel rules pregnancy centers must comply with the Obamacare mandate that forces organizations to offer their employees insurance coverage for drugs that cause abortions. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit held that pro-life organizations that are secular in nature are not entitled to the religious exemption granted by the Supreme Court to the Little Sisters of the Poor, Hobby Lobby, and others. Pope Francis prays at the tomb of Blessed Pope Paul VI Sunday on the 39th anniversary of his death. Paul VI, buried in the Vatican in the crypt of St. Peter's Basilica, was beatified by Pope Francis in 2014. He was elected pope in 1963, serving until his death August 6, 1978. Succeeding Pope St. John XXIII, he reigned over the Second Vatican Council until its close in 1965. North Korea vows retaliation after the UN Security Council unanimously votes to tighten sanctions. In Manila, U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson tells Asian leaders North Korea must stop its missile tests before negotiations can begin.
The best signal that North Korea could give us that they're prepared to talk would be to stop these missile launches.
Even China, a longtime ally of North Korea, supported the sanctions. The ban on coal and other exports could cost North Korea's economy $1 billion. Vice President Mike Pence calls a news report suggesting he is laying out the groundwork for a possible presidential run disgraceful and defensive. Pence says his team is instead focusing efforts on advancing the agenda of President Donald Trump. The vice president's rebuttal comes after the New York Times detailed efforts of several Republicans looking ahead to 2020, calling it a shadow campaign. The story says prominent Republicans are traveling to key primary states, Iowa and New Hampshire included, in what looks like preparations for the 2020 election. Attorney General Jeff Sessions says people who are leaking classified material are threatening national security and will pay the price.
Criminals who would illegally use their access to our most sensitive information to endanger our national security are, in fact, being investigated and will be prosecuted.
Brendan Kirby joining us from LightSet to talk more about these White House leaks. Brendan, good morning.
Good morning.
Do we have any indication where these leaks are coming from? And given the fact that there's a big renovation project going on in the White House, how secure could it really be?
Well, the leaks are really coming from all over, and there's really two types of leaks. There are leaks that are sort of political leaks that are merely embarrassing, but then there are a lot of leaks that contain classified information which are illegal and potentially damaging to national security, and those leaks seem to be coming from the national security bureaucracy. There's a lot of people who have access to transcripts and classified information and material that comes from wiretaps. And we've seen a record number of leaks involving that sort of thing. And that's what the Attorney General is really focused on.
Why? Why is this information being leaked?
Well, I think it's clear that there are a lot of people in the government in non-elected positions that don't like the president. You know, the charitable view is that they consider themselves patriots because they want to warn the public. The uncharitable view is they don't like the guy, they don't like his policies, and they're just trying to bring him down. And that's really quite dangerous because these are people who haven't been elected to anything, aren't accountable to anyone, and are using the power that they have been given by the government and the taxpayers to settle scores. And as the Attorney General pointed out, if they truly feel that they need to be whistleblowers, that they are viewing something that they consider illegal, there are channels to report that, and there are whistleblower laws to protect them, you know, in a legitimate way rather than running to the New York Times or the Washington Post.
How does the Justice Department clean out NSA and other organizations where these people may be leaking without appearing like a witch hunt?
Well, it's very hard to do because, as I said, there's a lot of people in the government that have access to this information. There's a lot of people who are not in the government. There are a lot of contractors with top secret clearances that also have access to it. One of the things that Sessions said that raised a lot of eyebrows is they are going to be reviewing their policies toward the media and subpoenaing journalists, and that got a lot of people's cackles up because of the First Amendment issues. Rod Rosenstein, Deputy Attorney General, came back and clarified, you know, DOJ doesn't plan to come prosecute reporters, but they might be trying to haul them before grand juries, issuing subpoenas, trying to get them to reveal sources. This is something we've seen in other administrations, and it's usually a hard thing to do.
Brendan Kirby, reporter for LifeSet. We appreciate your insight. Thanks, Brendan.
Yeah, as always, thanks a lot.
An Idaho man paralyzed by a virus 23 years ago pursues his dream of competing in Hawaii's Ironman triathlon. Rod Hutchins says he's chasing his goal really to help others.
I guess what I want to do is I want to give everybody who has a story a voice and let them know that there is a team out there that can help them.
After a series of surgeries and intense training, Hutchins placed third for his age group in Idaho's Great Snake River Triathlon on Saturday. 23 before the hour, and just ahead of Morning Glory Musings, we have a forecast for your Monday with Elisa Murphy, our producer.
Morning Glory weather.
A warm day in Lebanon, Tennessee, with temps nearing 78, with passing showers for those joining us on Risen Radio this morning. Low 72 with rain for Oil City in the Keystone State of Pennsylvania for those tuned to the Station of the Cross. And a sunny day with temps in the mid-80s for those joining us on Real Presence Radio in Bismarck, North Dakota.
Breaking up is hard on you. More divorces are filed in August than in any other month, and Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak address that on More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak starting at 10 o'clock Eastern here on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. At 22 till on Morning Glory, it's time for Morning Glory Musings.
So as you can imagine, my video for the USCCB where I talk about why the, quote, movement to redefine marriage is not like the civil rights movement, got a lot of flack. And one common slur, you know, they call us a bigot, and I was called a bigot and told that I was just like those people who opposed interracial marriage. And let's get it clear, actually. And I responded to the person and let them know that actually those who want to redefine marriage were just like those people who objected to interracial marriage. Why? Well, those people who objected to interracial marriage redefine marriage to include something that is not essential, race, because they had to get around the procreative complementarity of male-female union. And they did that for the purposes of white supremacy. Today's marriage movement wanted to redefine marriage to remove what is essential, male and female. And they did this for reasons of sexual egalitarianism. So both redefined marriage for their own purposes to get around the procreative aspect of male and female in marriage, both for different purposes, but at the same result. They redefined marriage because they didn't want to deal with the reality that marriage is a conjugal union between a male and female, and it requires complementarity. So one did it for purposes of white supremacy. The other one did it for purposes of sexual egalitarianism. So the next time somebody tells you you're like those bigots who objected to interracial marriage, you tell them, no, actually, the current movement to redefine marriage was more like that than we are. And I'm finding that in this rush for sexual egalitarianism, you know, love is love is love is love, people actually are losing the understanding of the nature of sex. I mean, in having this conversation, the person that I was talking with could not understand that the nature of homosexuality, sexual activity, is not baby making, but that heterosexual activity is the type that is baby making, even if it's impeded by age. So in other words, these people seem to think that homosexual acts are just like sterile heterosexual acts. And I'm like, no, they're not, because heterosexual activity is the only kind that results in new life. No one is surprised that when two men get together and have sex for 4 months that no baby has arisen out of that. It's because it has no natural ability to generate new life. So people are confusing an impeded natural ability with no natural ability. And so the kinds of sex that men and women have is the only kind that results in new life. And that's one of the chief reasons why it's absolutely different from homosexual activity. Mm-hmm. So
that
was clear.
Amen. I'll just follow up and say, we talked a little bit about this. In fact, last week when I was on the show, I mentioned something. But what this all has come from is the contraceptive mentality, which basically stated is there is no necessary connection between having sex and having children. But, of course, there is.
Mm-hmm.
In much as I gave this example, which others have heard before, which is, for example, there's a connection between the enjoyment of food and the nourishment that it provides. And God has connected them because otherwise we probably wouldn't eat enough.
Right.
I definitely eat enough. But you know, what if a person would say, no, there's no necessary connection, so I should be entitled to eat large amounts of food and then just vomit it up and because I enjoy the taste, but I don't feel like I need any more calories or, and I want to lose weight. Well, that's a horrifying abuse of food, A. Secondly, it's obviously missing that the two are connected.
Mm.
Now, this is what the contraceptive mentality has said, that sex is about having fun, pleasure. It doesn't necessarily have anything to do with having children, and everything starts to go off the rails. And that's where all this approval of homosexual activity comes from.
Mm.
It's where all of this stuff about these different varieties of things. We've sown the wind, and we're now reaping the whirlwind. This is what we've done in our culture. We're utterly, desperately confused about something that is so basic and central, and it is a civilization destroyer.
Mm-hmm.
We will not survive if we don't get our senses back.
Mm. How can we live our lives to affirm this life-giving nature that God has given us in the complementary sexes?
Yeah, as I say, I don't know how we have to keep. First of all, I know what we need to do. We need to keep preaching, teaching.
Yes.
Get everyone we can out of the raging waters, up on the firm rock of Christ's teachings. Hopefully, what we're doing this morning, I think we also have to say that part of what we're also dealing with is there's a kind of a neo-Gnostic resurgence, basically there's this attitude: look, I am not my body. I am only my thoughts. I am only my feelings. Mm-hmm. My body is irrelevant. What I do with my body, what my body is saying or teaching me, has nothing to do with me. I am only my feelings. I am only my thoughts. That is the pure Gnostic heresy that the church has had to fight from day one.
And I do think we have a responsibility to engage with people respectfully when they clearly just don't have the facts. And so part of why I respond to some of these things is I realize that other people also look at what I'm tweeting. Mm-hmm. And if it in any way helps to clarify what has been muddied by this contraceptive mentality, we should do it. I mean, maybe people didn't know the difference of how to talk about why sterile heterosexual acts are not like homosexual acts. I mean, that's part of us getting out there and engaging and hopefully putting some truth where there's a lot of confusion.
Yeah. And same-sex attraction is a fact of life for many people, I would assume. However, there is a group called Encourage, Monsignor, that is really taking a Catholic approach toward this.
Yes, both Courage is the outreach to those with same-sex attraction, and Encourage is the group which reaches out to family, friends, and loved ones, parents who love people who have same-sex attraction. And we'll talk when we return to someone from Encourage. We're going to talk with her as soon as we return from the break.
Stay with us for more of Morning Glory on your Monday in the 18th week in Ordinary Time. Thanks for listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Every new morning is a gift. This is Morning Glory.
A lot of people listen to Catholic radio and get great information to help build their faith and support their faith. But there are also people out there who haven't yet built a relationship with God, and Catholic radio reaches them wherever they are. It evangelizes in a way like no other medium, and that's just one of the many reasons why Catholic radio is so important.
Jimmy Akin thinks Catholic radio is important. So should you.
CNA is the only fast, reliable, and free Catholic news source that brings blogs, stories, and opinions to your fingertips. The latest Catholic news is at CatholicNewsAgency.com, an online service from EWTN News.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
The only thing new about the heresies in the church and the schisms in the church today is it's mixed with satanic worship. We in the church have gone from enneagrams to centering prayer to solstice worship to goddesses. And you buy it as something new.
For more information on Mother Angelica, visit Religious Catalog at EWTNRC.com.
Hi, this is Anna Mitchell, host of the Sunrise Morning Show.
This is John Martinoni, host of EWTN Open Line Monday.
Hi, this is Barbara McWiggin. Thanks for listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
We value your opinion. Email morningglory@EWTN.com.
Catholic Chatter on Morning Glory features your emails, texts, and tweets. We'll have that from Elisa Murphy as Morning Glory continues here in a few minutes. It's about 13 before the hour now. Brian Patrick, along with my friend Gloria Purvis.
Good morning.
And our godly counsel, Monsignor Charles Pope.
And we are now joined by Maria, who is a mother and part of the Encourage Ministry, which is an outreach to those with same-sex attraction. And, you know, Maria, as we get started, I want to hear a little bit about your testimony, but we are often accused because we don't agree with the agenda of those with same-sex attraction that we hate them. But, of course, the church reaches out. We want to summon everyone to live in the church. And through Courage, we reach out to those with same-sex attraction and encourage them and help them to live chastely. Also, though, Encourage is for parents who have or others, family members and friends who have, those that they love with same-sex attraction. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to hear a little bit about your testimony and how Encourage has helped you.
Well, good morning. Great to be on, and it's good to hear from you, Monsignor Pope, because mm-hmm. I've admired your work a lot, especially on this subject. So anyway, about 6 years ago, our son, who had been very devoted to his faith, was just out of college, and we noticed that his faith was kind of cooling. He wasn't as engaged in Mass as he used to be, so I asked him what was going on, and he told us that he was glad I asked. He'd been having a hard time figuring out how to tell us, but that he was no longer Catholic and no longer Christian, and by the way, gay. And because our passing on our faith has been the most important thing to us as parents, the fact that he was rejecting the Lord and the moral life that we had hoped to pass on to him, it was an extremely difficult thing for my husband and I. I would say it's the hardest moment of my life to this point, really. And we were so devastated we couldn't sleep. And but the good thing about it was is it knocked us to our knees in prayer. But it was very difficult. We were able to tell our son that we loved him still and that we still wanted him in our life, and he was glad for that because he thought we were going to kick him out. But it began a very lonely and difficult journey for us. So that's just a little bit of a synopsis of the beginning.
And then how did you find out about Encourage, and how has Encourage helped you?
Well, fortunately, I had read about it in the National Catholic Register, so I wasn't at a complete loss. And we don't have it in our diocese, but so I ended up calling them, the Courage office, and they connected me with another couple who had a son in the same situation. And it's a desperately lonely situation to find oneself in because you don't know who to talk to and who you can trust with this. So it was such a relief to be able to talk with someone who understood, who is much further on that road than us and could give us counsel and help us see where we should go from there. So I could go say more about that, but that's the beginning of it.
Maria, one of the things I'm wondering about is it seems that our cultural attitude is that parents need to be accepting and supportive of children that reveal that not only do they have a same-sex attraction, but they want to actively live on it. Do you think that if you have come out, you know, more publicly to say, you know, I don't think this is best for my child, that you would get just as much blowback as being someone that's, you know, hating their kid and this and that and the other? Has that been the reason why you've decided to try to go to Encourage for support?
Well, definitely. I looked in other places and found a so-called Catholic group that would do exactly what you just said, that would encourage us to not only love our child, but to be fully accepting of everything he's doing. And it is, I mean, we are the bad guys, according to the culture right now. We're, in quotes, bad parents because we don't love our son the way that we should. So Encourage has absolutely fortified us in not only standing for the truth, but how do you live the truth in love? And they've given us such good examples as we look at, as we hear the stories of other families, of how do you do that? So, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I know that... Maria, that we have this pressure today that if you love me, you'll agree, you'll and so on. And I think we've often equated love with kindness, whereas kindness is only an aspect of love. Just as, for example, rebuke is, or sometimes saying no, and if you do so, I'll punish you. most parents have to get used to saying that, and that's said in love, not in hatred. So again, I guess it's this constant guidance of trying to stay in a longer conversation. With your son and for everyone who's in these, but that conversation has to involve us being, as you are, being encouraged to continuously state the truth in love. And maybe, well, have you thought too, maybe sometimes we're planting seeds and others will harvest them later, but we have to sometimes stay in a long, patient conversation, don't we?
Yeah, we do, and we have to be careful how we speak. And one of the greatest gifts to me actually has been getting to know the members of Courage as well, because they give us parents great counsel in how to understand our children and the difficulty of experiencing same-sex attraction. And they speak from their own experience, and they also they tell us what worked with their parents and what didn't work with their parents. Yes. So figuring out how to do that, how to carry that on that conversation, how to do it with sensitivity, and how not to make it the focus of your relationship with your child. Be very discerning about when to talk about it. So, yeah, it's a delicate balancing act. We don't talk with our son about that every time we talk with him, but we have had some marvelous conversations over the years by the grace of God.
So, Maria, how can we, as parents who may not have experienced what you're experiencing, I have three daughters, they're all solidly married with children, how can we be supportive to you who are dealing with something that we're not familiar with and that's frankly kind of creeps some of us out?
Yeah. Well, honestly, in the beginning, I didn't tell any of my friends because and then they're all faithful Catholic because I thought they wouldn't understand, that they might reject my son, that they might distance themselves from me. So I think to share in my sorrow. It's not the same as having lost a child, But to just say, gosh, that must be hard, just to have that sort of compassion. What doesn't help at all would be that kind of encouraging me to accept my son's behavior. I think it would be the same as if a child has some other moral issue, that you would want someone to support you in standing up for the truth. Prayer is always nice. Mm-hmm. And honestly, the thing that has been the most of a blessing to me is those people that continue to seek to love my son in the midst of all of this. And I've found, not much to my surprise, but I wasn't sure, that both my siblings and my good Catholic friends have continued to love my son, mm-hmm. but without that erroneous affirmation. Yes. If one of my good friends affirmed him in the error, that would be really hard
That's
for me.
Right. Amen. Well, listen, Maria, thank you for joining us. Mm-hmm. Everyone can find out more about this at couragerc.org, couragerc.org. And I want to thank you, and also helping to remind us that to encourage doesn't mean just to console. It means to summon someone to courage, to summon mm-hmm. people to courage. And this is to live the truth in love. So thank you again for your testimony, and let's continue to get the word out about couragerc.org and also encourage.
Thank you.
Thanks,
okay.
Maria.
Well, thank you for having me on, Father. Monsignor Pope, you keep doing the same thing. You're a real blessing to us.
All right, bless the Lord.
Thanks, Maria. It is 5 till as Morning Glory continues, and today's Gospel from St. Matthew leads off with Jesus grieving the death of his cousin. We'll get into that with Monsignor, but first a little Catholic chatter with Elisa Murphy.
We've heard from Ellen, who wrote in this morning. Her brother is actually struggling with same-sex attraction, so she was very grateful for Maria's testimony just moments ago. Again, you can find out more information at couragerc.org. And we've also heard from, we just want to give a special shout-out to Mr. Jordan with all of his White House leak gifts. They're a riot right now on Twitter.
All right. And Monsignor, we continue to read from Matthew chapter 14.
Yeah, John the Baptist had just been murdered. We heard about that sad story on Saturday at the Mass. And then Jesus withdrew. One place he could get alone was to go out on the lake in a boat. That's one of the few places he could get alone. But then he doesn't just lose himself in that. He goes on the other shore and he finds a crowd and he begins to minister to them. And so he works through his grief. And that's a beautiful image of the Lord. Even though grieving, he reaches out to others.
Prefiguring, of course, the Eucharist, we feed on our Lord every time we attend Mass and receive Holy Communion. Monsignor Charles Pope, thank you. We appreciate you. We'll see you next Monday.
Thank you.
Gloria, mm-hmm. we'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah, bright and early in our godly council tomorrow will be Father Thomas Petrie.
Also, Joy Pinto's with us.
Yes, we're going to, this is our Tell the Truth Tuesdays. We're going to look at a pregnancy center in Birmingham.
Amen.
Great. Yeah. Looking forward to that. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Have a blessed Monday. We look forward to our time together tomorrow on Morning Glory.
Catholic from the start, because every new morning is a gift.